This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What does it really take to silence someone? Money? Power? Fear? Maybe none of it works once the truth starts crawling its way towards daylight? Because that's what's happening now, allegedly, with Don Richard, the former member of Danity Kane, the Diddy Dirty Money group as well. She's stepping back into the public eye, not for nostalgia, not for reunion headlines, but to confront the man who built her career and, according to her, tried to destroy her sense of safety long after the music stopped. Well, that's right, we're talking about Diddy again. And now she's saying that even prison walls have not stopped him. Surprise. Like I say, narcissism always wins. Not the narcissist, narcissism. Because they will not stop. Can't stop, won't stop, right? It's true. In new court filings from November 5th of 2025, Richard's attorneys allege that Sean Diddy Combs, already incarcerated on federal convictions, tampered with a key witness in her civil case while behind bars. Her legal team didn't mince words. They wrote, "There is no indication that Combs' ability or willingness to act on his threats ever ceased, or that their coercive effect on Miss Richard will ever or was ever lifted." Translation, even from inside, he still scares her. The filing describes an alleged incident in September of 24, after Combs was already in custody, when he somehow managed to interfere with a witness allegedly tied to Richard's lawsuit. They call it a direct validation of her fear and a sign that his intimidation never really ended. It just evolved. Now, prosecutors had already painted that same picture months ago. They argued that Diddy was a continuing threat, not because of guns or violence, but because of influence, the ability to move people like chess pieces, even from isolation. They cited that danger as the reason he should stay behind bars. The court agreed, denying him bail four times for this exact same concern: witness tampering, obstruction, and coercion. So when Richard's lawyers filed this, they weren't starting from scratch. They were picking up where prosecutors left off. In the context of her broader complaint, it all tracks. Richard had alleged years of physical and emotional abuse under Diddy's control, being groped, deprived of sleep and food, and punished when she resisted his advances. She and fellow artist Kalina Harper have claimed they witnessed violence against Cassie Ventura and that Diddy's response was simple: silence, or your career dies. Take that, take that, take that. Aha! I just imagine that's how he ends every sentence. That's the common thread across everyone who's come forward: the silence clause. During Diddy's high-profile trial earlier this year, Richard testified publicly. Cassie did too. So did Kid Cudi. Each of them painted pieces of a larger picture, one of power, money, and fear woven together like a business model. In the end, Diddy was found guilty only under the Mann Act, not of the racketeering and the trafficking counts, but that conviction was serious. 50 months in prison, $500,000 in fines, 5 years of supervised release, and he's already appealing. Still, civil suits are where the real long-term damage can unfold. That's where victims speak on their own timeline, not the state's. And this filing from Don Richard is one of the most potent yet, because it doesn't just revisit what he did in the past. It alleges what he's still doing now. The document doesn't name the witness or specify how the contact happened, but the claim alone is explosive. If proven, it means Diddy has been trying to manipulate a witness while incarcerated. Surprise! That's not just a violation of court orders. That's a new crime entirely. And it fits a pattern. Prosecutors have warned about this: the danger of influence that survives
confinement. Because power like that doesn't vanish the moment the cell door locks. It morphs into whispers through intermediaries, favors from loyalists, or veiled reminders of what happens when you talk. Richard's lawyers are using the government's own language against him. Pattern of witness intimidation, obstruction, and coercion. Those aren't tabloids calling him that. Those are official words from prosecutors. Her filing cites them almost verbatim. It's a clever move, legally and symbolically. She's saying, you already agreed he was capable of this. Now look, he's done it again. From a legal standpoint, this gives her case enormous weight. From a psychological one, it's devastating because it suggests that even prison hasn't given her peace. And that's where the story stops being about lawsuits and starts being about power. Diddy built an empire on control of music, image, narrative. He wasn't just the face of Bad Boy Records. He was the atmosphere. When he walked in a room, people adjusted themselves. When he liked or disliked someone, entire careers rose or fell accordingly. Control wasn't just something he had. It was the air everyone around him breathed. So when a woman like Dawn Richard steps up years later and says, I still feel it, it tells you how deep it runs. Because control doesn't require contact. It only requires belief. If you think someone still has the power to hurt you, that fear is enough to keep you silent. And that's the heart of this case. Diddy's team, of course, denies it all. They've called the lawsuits opportunistic, exaggerated, motivated by fame. But what makes the denials less convincing is that they sound exactly the same, no matter who's accusing him. Cassie says she was abused. Dawn says she was coerced. Others say they were threatened or paid to disappear. Different stories, same pattern. You don't need a guilty verdict to see repetition. And that's why this moment feels bigger than just another Diddy update. It's about what happens when a man who spent 30 years mastering narrative control finally loses the ability to dictate his own. It's about the cost of finally telling the truth out loud when everyone around you spent years pretending they didn't see what you did. The entertainment industry has a long memory for loyalty, but a short one for accountability. For decades, Diddy was untouchable. His charisma and success shielded him from scrutiny. Rumors were brushed. They were just brushed off as jealousy. Power was disguised as charm. And when people like Dawn Richard pushed back, they were called ungrateful, unstable, or difficult. It's a classic tactic. Discredit the accuser so you never have to confront the accusation. But now, that narrative's collapsing. One filing at a time. And what's fascinating here is how much Dawn Richard's document echoes the prosecutor's own warnings. The same words used to justify his detention. Pattern, threat, coercion now serve as the spine of her civil argument. It's poetic in a dark way. You can almost hear the subtext. You locked him up because you knew he'd try to keep control. Now look what happened. Whether the alleged September 2024 incident can be proven is another matter entirely. The identity of the witness is redacted, the details are sealed, but in the court of public opinion, the idea alone is enough to shift perception. Because the notion of a man still manipulating witnesses from a federal cell isn't just shocking. It is kind of cinematic. It feels like the natural next act in a story about a mogul whose empire was built on bending people's will. The scary part? It's not impossible. The wealthy and powerful often find ways to communicate indirectly through intermediaries, coded messages, and even mutual acquaintances doing favors. When you spent your life learning how to make people work for you, that skill doesn't vanish behind bars. And yet, whether this alleged tampering happened or not, the psychological impact on Richard is the same. She still feels unsafe. That's what trauma does. It blurs the line between memory and possibility. Her words? There is no indication that Combs' ability or willingness to act on his threats ever ceased. They carry a weight that goes beyond one lawsuit. They describe the afterlife of coercion. The way fear lingers long after the physical threat is gone. That's what so many survivors of powerful abusers talk about. The endless echo of control. The phone doesn't even have to ring. You just assume it might.
And that's what she's fighting against here. Not just Diddy, but the mythology around him. The idea that he's untouchable, unstoppable, beyond consequences. She's saying, no, he's not. And the court's repeated refusal to grant him bail says the same thing. You don't deny bail four times because you're worried about bad PR. You do it because you're convinced the threat is real. So when Dawn Richard takes that same reasoning and applies it to her civil case, she's essentially telling the judge, you already know what he's capable of. Now act on it. It's gutsy. It's dangerous. And it's probably necessary. Because for all the progress we've made culturally, the entertainment industry still runs on widespread whispered warnings and invisible consequences. If you cross the wrong person, your career evaporates. Dawn Richard's decision to file again, to keep pushing this, is the kind of defiance that scares people who depend on silence. And maybe that's what makes this story matter most. It's not about revenge. It's about ending the fear loop. It's about saying that you can't build an empire on coercion and expect everyone you've crushed to just disappear when the lights go out. So where does it all go from here? Diddy's appeal continues. His legal team is trying to overturn his conviction. Totally separate case. Meanwhile, Richard's civil suit case pushes forward, and the judge will soon decide whether her complaint survives dismissal. If it does, we'll move into discovery, where every record, message, and witness statement comes under a microscope. And that's when the truth tends to crawl out. Because even if nothing illegal happened last September, this case forces the system to confront something deeper. What if incarceration isn't enough to neutralize power? What if influence itself is the real weapon? That's the question her lawsuit raises, and it's one every institution should be asking. In the end, this isn't just a story about a musician and her former boss. It's about whether accountability has an expiration date, whether we actually believe that money and fame can't override the law anymore. If Dawn Richard's allegations hold up, if there's proof of contact or interference, it could open the door to new criminal consequences for Diddy. Who thought that might happen? If not, it still forces a public reckoning with what abuse of power looks like when it's institutionalized, not impulsive. Either way, this is the final act of a decades-long performance, one where control was the instrument and fear was the chorus. And if you listen closely, you can hear something shifting. The silence that used to protect men like Diddy is breaking. Slowly, painfully, but it's happening. Because power only survives as long as people keep pretending not to see it. And Dawn Richard just made sure everyone's looking. So no matter how this plays out legally, something irreversible already happened. The empire's myth has cracked. The next time someone says, it's all in her head, she can point to the record, the filings, the denials, the echoes, and say, maybe. But that's where he's been living all along. Because sometimes the most dangerous thing about power isn't that it hurts people. It's that it convinces them it still can, even from a cell. And that's the ghost Dawn Richard's trying to exorcise, not just from her life, but from the culture that made it possible. This isn't a comeback story. It's a reckoning. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, please just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That's where you will find us on YouTube. Press subscribe and join in our conversations every day of the cases that we're discussing right here. Your voice matters and we want to hear it. Please press subscribe while you're there. And press subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast as well. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.